Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns. And together, we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full.
Welcome back to the Living Fullness podcast. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you too.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It is actually. What have you done this week?
This week, work mainly. Once again, we have rain down here in Wagga.
Yeah, it's like just, you know, all of a sudden we've had like 10 years of drought. Yeah. And now it's just pouring rain, yeah. Which we're not complaining about. Nope. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I'm really glad to be here. And it's been wonderful to see all the comments and messages that we've been getting since the podcast has been released. So cool. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
To all of you who've been listening and watching on our YouTube channel.
Nice.
It's awesome. So please, please do keep staying in touch and let us know. Let us know if we're hitting the mark or not.
Yes. I hear you've been copping some flack for the Wanda Wonder thing.
Like something incredible. I have women from literally the other side of the world who can't even look at me on screen without laughing now. So thanks for nothing.
I'm sorry.
You are not.
No, I'm not, slightly. But it's
It is what it is.
That's right. Very good.
So this week, Padre, we wanted to go a little bit further again.
Yes. So last week we looked at sort of the natural progression of a friendship, what a friendship looks like going from acquaintance to friend, sort of highlighting the fact that there was actually some kind of difference or delineation between an acquaintance and a friend. And that it was natural for a relationship to begin at the level of an acquaintance and then to grow into being a friend. Well, today we actually want to look at that progress, that process of moving from, say, acquaintance to friend, or that, and even the process of deepening a friendship. What does that look like?
Yeah. And so we spoke last week about the natural progression of a relationship and that being almost like a spelling out of how that relationship can grow from one stage to another. And this was something that Sarah Swafford in the States had come up with. And so what we wanted to talk about today is a bit of a pulling apart of sort of five key elements that really play into the way that we do move from one to another. And again, this is also the work of Sarah Swafford.
Yes.
And she points out five elements, that being trust, honesty, time, virtue, and God. Mm. So over the next few episodes, we wanted to pull those things apart individually and really give that time of day to really flesh that out.
Mm.
So credit once again to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I love your work.
If you're watching, we love your work very much.
Yes. In case you couldn't tell already.
Yeah.
So definitely check out her ministry and her work, Emotional Virtue. And let's get into the first one, trust. So I think we can all agree that trust is a very important element of any relationship. You can't really be in a relationship with someone that you don't trust. And for that to be a healthy relationship, you could be in a toxic relationship with someone, but not in a healthy relationship without trust. So trust is sort of that sense of having that confidence in another person and being able to rely on them and, those feelings of actually being near to them or close to them. They all come from this thing that we call trust that's built up with a person. And so one of the things that's necessary for trust to build is a sense of vulnerability.
Yeah.
So something that I came across a while back now, and most people have heard of Brené Brown and her work, and something that she has come up with in terms of pulling apart vulnerability is the phrase or the word braving, but it's an acronym. So each letter of the word braving stands for something. So we wanted to go through that today because I think that's actually really a really good way of unpacking how vulnerability and trust play sort of together to create what we have in this first element of moving forward in a relationship.
Definitely. All right.
So the first one for braving is boundaries.
Yeah.
Which yeah. I know if I was someone listening to this podcast and I heard the word boundaries, I would probably cringe. What is this boundary stuff? Like, where is this going? And isn't this a bit of a party pooper? Like, I get it. I get it. We do have this attitude of boundaries being this thing that just destroys the fun.
Yeah.
In a relationship, in a friendship, in any kind of
sort of puts up walls, creates friction, or you know, sure.
I had a young fella ask once in a talk that I gave recently, and they sort of said, you know, if a relationship needs boundaries, doesn't that mean that it's already not in a good place?
Wow.
Which was really interesting. It's interesting that that's how we view boundaries, that boundaries is something that's only put in place for stuff that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, that we can't have boundaries to protect something things, that's valuable
that's
and
right.
good. And
that's right.
We have this tendency to jump to the other.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. Boundaries actually assist us in the maintenance of a relationship. They're not just, it's not just, boundaries aren't just no. They're not just no, it's also boundaries are yes. You know, it's Christianity is often sort of caricatured as the religion of no. And I would shoot back at that and say, well, no, it's actually a religion of yes, because wherever there is a no, there's a corresponding yes that sits there. Mm. You know, boundaries are every bit as much about protecting, preserving, aiding and assisting a relationship than they are saying, well, you know, here's the no in the relationship. Like that's not really what they're for.
Mm.
They're there to preserve and to protect. And yes, that will assist us in saying, well, actually, there are some things that we have to avoid here, but that will be at the service of something greater.
Mm. And that's exactly right. If you've got something that you're protecting or safeguarding, then that automatically says that there is something that will likely come up against that. And not all of those things will necessarily be bad.
Right.
Some of those things will be potential for good. So what I mean by that is things like we've talked about, you know, risk before. There are some risks that aren't worth taking in certain relationships. And then there are other risks that actually might be worth considering.
Sure.
And so this, you know, this is where we can think about, depending on the type of relationship that you're in, you know, if you're in a friendship with someone that you have romantic attractions towards and there is nothing that stands in the way of you or them potentially pursuing that and that becoming a romantic relationship, well, then that risk is probably worth considering.
Right.
Whereas for other relationships, that may not be the case.
Right.
So you could have, you know, things like between a husband and a wife, you know, it could be the spouse growing in friendship with someone else. Well, there are certain boundaries that need to be put in place so that there is no risk of romantic attraction happening between a spouse and somebody else who is not their spouse. You know, there are certain things that need to be considered in order to be able to safeguard the relationship that they have with their spouse.
Yeah.
So those are the risks that we need to consider.
Yeah.
When we set the boundaries that we do set.
Mm. Every relationship has risk inherent with it. And that's, there was a guy named C.S. Lewis who's most famous for having written The Chronicles of Narnia. But he's really, that's but a fraction of his writing. He's written heaps and heaps more than that. And one of the things that he writes is a book called The Four Loves.
Mm.
And in that book, he talks about the fact that there can be no love without risk, that the only place that we can, the only place that we find love free from risk is heaven. And the only place outside of heaven where we are free from risk in regard to relationships is hell, because there's no love there, you know.
Right.
So risk is always there. It's a reality that we deal with in our relationships. And the question is, as you say, is it a risk that's worth taking? Is this a good risk? You know, is it a case of two friends who have, you know, the potential and the capacity to enter into a romantic relationship? Then that may well be a risk worth taking. But then there are risks that we are not in a position to even consider. You know, in the case of a married man, in the case of a cleric, in the case of a priest, you know, there are certain things that can't even be considered. But then there are risks that are simply not worth taking, and those are risks that lead us into sin. Mm. You know, and so those risks always have to be avoided.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah,
definitely. And of course, there are, in terms of male female friendships, as opposed to, you know, female female friendships or male male friendships, obviously there are going to be boundaries that are different in those. Not all the boundaries will look the same.
Right.
There will be different boundaries depending on the relationship that you're in, but also the added layer of whether you're in a relationship or a friendship with a male or a female brings another set of set of things to consider when setting those boundaries as well.
Absolutely. One of the things that might just be worth mentioning in terms of boundaries and risk is that, you know, where do you draw the line with risk? Like, what does an acceptable risk look like, and what does an unacceptable risk sort of look like? You know, and I think the answer is that the goodness that there is a goodness which outweighs the inherent risk. Mm-hmm. You know, there's whereas an unacceptable risk is where the goodness of people is in danger.
Mm.
You know, where my goodness or somebody else's goodness gets placed in jeopardy.
Mm.
That is an unacceptable risk.
Mm, definitely. Mm. And I guess, you know, trying to think of examples where that might be the case. You know, this comes back to use, right? It comes back to how we, one of the ways can be in the way that we might end up using someone else for our own benefit, which of course does not take the other person's goodness
into
consideration.
Treating someone as a means to an end, right?
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Which can happen in all forms.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Relationship.
Absolutely. All right. So you were saying you were saying about how in the case of a male-female friendship, the boundaries have to be in place that respect the fact that it's a male-female friendship, as we well know, and that they're not going to always look the same, that based on, you know, on circumstances, on vocations, on all sorts of things, that these things will look different according to certain sets of circumstances. You know, where there is the possibility of a romantic attraction developing and there's an openness to that, the boundaries will look different. Where there is not that possibility, the boundaries will look different again.
Yeah.
But boundaries also aren't explicitly set around just male and female friendships, though, either. They also sit around male-male friendships and female-female friendships. And I think we can perceive less of a risk there, but there's still vulnerability, and so there's still risk.
Hmm.
You know, I guess you might say it's a different kind of risk. You know, it's still risk, because if I'm going to be a friend with this person, then I have to actually share part of who I am, and that always necessarily involves risk and vulnerability.
Mm.
So boundaries sit around every friendship we have, necessarily so, as to how much we share or what we share, how we share it, when we meet and how we meet, boundaries of touch or boundaries of speech. And yeah, so boundaries will exist in every kind of friendship.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, again, every relationship will look different. So I could be in a female, you know, I can be in a relationship with another female where our friendship has certain boundaries, and I can be in a friendship with another female where those boundaries will look different again.
Yep.
So every relationship has its own based on that relationship.
Definitely.
And the needs of that relationship. And like you said, placing the goodness first and foremost.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's sort of boundaries. For braving.
Yes. Yeah.
So then we get to R. What does R in braving stand for?
Reliability.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. Reliability, you do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's
simply put.
Simply put. And I guess that means at the end of the day that I have to be, if I'm going to be a reliable person, that I have to be clear on what my limitations are, what my boundaries are, so that I can actually be reliable, so that I'm not over promising on something and not being able to deliver. There's a remember that film Shanghai Noon?
No.
Really?
No, I don't remember
it's
that.
It's
a
Jackie Chan film.
Yeah, no. I've seen a few, don't remember their names.
It's a marvelous film. There's a part in there where the main romantic lead says, you must not promise what you cannot perform.
Mm.
That's a pretty good standard.
Mm.
Yeah,
definitely. It's sort of within reliability too. You know, it says something about the competence of another person, being able to have, yes, the trust, but also being able to have confidence in someone else's capacity and their ability. So,
sure.
You know, it's one thing to say you're going to do something, but if you can't actually follow through, not only in word, but in deed as well, then you're not showing that you're capable of being reliable, and not just as a once-off, as a repeated.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And it's sort of reliability is shown over time too. Mm. It's demonstrated. Mm. It's reliability is demonstrated in repetition.
Yeah.
You know, someone has proved reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've had to learn that from a friend. Just thinking of whether she would appreciate a name drop or not. Just checking my boundaries here. So I will just hold back just for sake of caution here.
Sure.
But this particular friend who I've known for a number of years, she's very straightforward. She'll just say things as is. And one of the things I learned from her is that when she doesn't live in the same town. So when we would catch up and we would try to make time to catch up, there would be times where she would say, all right, let's do, you know, this particular afternoon or this particular day. I'd check my diary and go, yep, no, that sounds good. Let's lock it in. I'd go to lock it in and she'd go, actually, no. No. Nope, I've actually got a few things on that day. So, no, I'm not going to make, although I have the afternoon free, because I've had a few things on that day, I don't think I'm going to have the brain space for it. So, no, let's change times. I remember the first few times that happened, I was like, oh, gee, like you don't have anything on that afternoon. You could make time for me here. Like we're friends. Like we want to catch up, right? But she also knew her limitation. She knew that she had a few things on that day, so she would not be in the best position to actually have a decent conversation. So she was actually being loving towards me in saying, actually, you deserve time, space, and energy of mine, and I can't give it to you at that time.
For sure.
I know what my limits are. I can't give it to you.
Yeah.
So I learned that from her, and so I've become better at being able to say the same thing to other people, going, no, actually, that's my limit. I know how exhausted I'm going to be on that weekend, so no. I mean, obviously, if it's urgent, I will go out of my way to shift things around to make time for the people that I care about, but if it can be pushed to a different time frame, then I'll do that too.
Yep.
But that's her. That was her way, you know, one of the things that she showcased in being reliable, because it also meant that when she shifted the time, she showed up.
Yeah, definitely,
definitely.
That reliability, it really does. I mean, we're talking about trust here, so that reliability really does build trust. And I suppose that when we talk about the process of building a friendship, you know, in the context of trust, does this person respect my boundaries and do I respect theirs?
Mm.
And is this person reliable and am I reliable to them?
Mm.
You know, and it's helpful to be able to see that and to be able to go, well, okay, you know, am I a reliable person? Is this person a reliable person? And the only way that can be measured is through, as you say, through actually seeing that play out in the context of your relationship.
Yeah.
And that's where we get a bit of risk that comes into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, she could have just said, oh, yeah, no, I'll just, yep, that's fine. You know, even though she knew that about herself, if she knew, like if we know that that's a limit of ours and we go, ah, I'll be all right, then that is a risk that we're taking. But is it a risk that's actually in the benefit of the other person?
Right.
Or is it a risk that's just purely for our own?
Yep, exactly.
Whatever the motivation might be.
Yep, sure. Sure. All right. Well, that's reliability. It sort of takes us to the A of braving.
Yeah, accountability. This one we have mentioned in a previous podcast already. But this is really about being able to be held accountable to a standard that we set for ourselves in terms of who we are, the values that we stand for, that kind of thing. Mm. But also it's about being able to own a mistake. So accountability also means we can say to someone, I stuffed up there. Mm. I'm really sorry that I stuffed up there. And here's what I want to do to try and amend that, to get this friendship back to where it deserves to be, where it needs to be. So it's about being able to say that for yourself, as in to the other person. It's also about being able for the other person to receive that too, because it needs to work both ways, right? So we need to be able to hold someone else accountable to say, you stuffed up there. Yeah. You can do better than that. But we also need to be in a place where we can say, I stuffed up. I can do better than that.
Yeah.
You deserve better than that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. That's spot on. It's sort of a two-way street, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's being willing to hold somebody else accountable, but that only works if I'm first willing to hold myself accountable as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to see that I have a standard that I'm aiming for and that I'm asking my friend to hold me to as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely. So that's accountability.
Vault.
Then we've got V, vault, which this one's interesting. This is one that I hadn't heard expressed quite in this way. I've heard boundaries and reliability and accountability before, but vault, I was like, oh, what's this business? And essentially it's about that what I share with you, you will hold in confidence, but also what you share with me, I will hold in confidence. Mm. So it's that sense of, you know, being able to lock something away in a vault and have it preserved and protected and cared for. And a breach in that doesn't just break. If I've heard something, it's not just about me sharing that with someone else. It's also the sense that if I've held something from someone else and I share that with you, that also breaks the vault open. Mm. And so it's more than just what goes on between two people in conversation. It's also about whether we have the capacity and the ability to hold safe what is somebody else's.
Yeah.
And in demonstrating that, we actually build trust in the other person and for the other person in us, which helps the friendship as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. Even if I hold something that you have said to me, but then I share with you something that I've heard from somebody else, it immediately places, and rightfully places, serious doubt as to my ability to hold as you know, kind of sacred in a certain sense, you know, to hold what you have said secret, to hold it in, you know, to myself.
Mm.
So, and as I say, rightly introduces doubt into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And again, this is one that is with risk and time.
Mm.
You know, it's as you get to know somebody, you develop a sense of, will this person actually hold that? And it helps us to know, again, thinking about boundaries, how far and how much do I share with this person based on what I know about their ability to hold something? Mm. You know, do I have trust that this person will hold to themselves something, you know, very important to me, or very, you know, near to my heart. And obviously a person looking to form friendship with us would be asking the same question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the more we demonstrate that in the terms of reliability, the more we demonstrate that we're capable of that, the more reliable we can't become to be able to share, to be vulnerable in order for that vault to become strengthened.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
So that's V.
Mm.
Then we've got I.
Integrity.
Mm. Mm. Good word.
It is a good word, isn't it? Yeah. Choosing courage over comfort.
Mm. Mm.
Choosing what's right. You know, when I was a student at university, we were in dining hall, mess hall, as the Americans call it. I remember we were sitting at table and there was a few people who were speaking about someone in the residential college where I was staying. You know, I didn't know this person really well, and I sort of I didn't really know what to do. You know, I'm a little bit ashamed actually that I didn't stand up and say something. But thankfully, one of her friends was there, and one of her friends turned around, the lady who was being spoken about. And one of her friends turned around and said, "Knock it off! Why are you doing that for?" You know, and this group of people over here who were talking about, you know, this young lady, you know, they made snide remarks and all sorts of things about her. She didn't care in the least. And the reason she didn't care in the least was that she knew she'd done the right thing. Mm. She stood up for a friend. Mm. You know, well, this is courage over comfort. Mm. You know, it's a knowing what the right thing is and choosing it, even when it is difficult to choose it. That's the very, you know, it's the essence of courage. And you know, it's choosing what is right when it's hard. This is integrity.
Mm.
It's being your, not just being yourself, but being your best self.
Yeah.
In all circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, at all times.
So that then ties in with authenticity too, doesn't it? Because yeah. It's one thing to simply act in the right way. It's another if our thoughts and our emotions and the way we actually think of the situation doesn't match up
right.
to the action.
Right, yeah.
It yeah. needs to all be uniform. It needs to be
right.
all part of the one person,
yeah.
authentically yeah. yourself.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And I sense the word virtue somewhere in here. But we'll leave that for a different day. Let's,
yeah.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, that's right. So then that shows a genuineness too.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A genuineness and also I think being able to forgive.
Mm.
You know, part of having integrity is not holding a grudge.
Mm.
You know, and when someone comes in a spirit of accountability, when someone comes and says, "Hey, I've messed up," for us to be able to look at it and go, "Well, you know, I don't define you by your mess up."
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a really big element of growing in trust is knowing that I've got someone who I can go to and say, "Hey, I've messed up," and that person will not define me by the manner in which I have messed up.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So that's integrity.
Mm.
Then we have N, non-judgment.
Yeah.
So this is a sense that, you know, I can actually fall apart and be in a struggle and ask my friend for help without my friend judging me for it. And the same the other way around. My friend is allowed to fall apart in front of me and ask for my help without me judging them for it. So it's somewhat linked, you know, in terms of that forgiveness, it's somewhat linked to that too, yeah. In not judging them and in not holding that over them.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. And it creates a power imbalance.
Mm.
Right. And it's sort of someone has come in vulnerability to, you know, express their exactly what's going on in their life at that particular point in time.
Mm.
And that might be literally, you know, I am falling apart right now and I'm upset and I'm all these things. To sit in judgment over that is to not actually accept that where that vulnerable person is at and to be there for them as a friend. It's to sit in judgment over them.
There's a sense when it comes to friendship that we're walking this thing together.
Yeah.
And so if there's a power imbalance going on, there might be, you know, moments of where one person's strength is, you know, in a particular area over the sure. other, and then there might be a sense of empower balance there, but a consistent empower balance
yeah.
or
yeah.
one where a moment of vulnerability is shared and that
yeah.
you know, is seen as an opportunity to misuse
for sure for
that
sure.
power, that really is not the way yeah. friendship is meant to
that's
go.
Right. That's right. And I do like to draw a bit of a distinction with when we say non-judgmental. I cringe sometimes when I hear people say, you know, "Oh, Jesus said don't judge." What the scriptures and what Jesus encourages us to do is yeah, we mustn't judge people's hearts. because we can't. We haven't got that. You know, when someone falls apart in front of us, we cannot possibly judge the human heart. Mm-hmm. We just haven't. You know, it's above anybody's pay grade. You know,
except God.
Except God. He has the best pay grade of all. So he's in the highest tier.
He's beyond pay grades.
But we are also called at the same time to hold our friends accountable.
Yeah.
And so we do have a duty to judge behavior. That isn't to judge the heart of the person who behaves or the person who acts, but to judge behavior as being right or wrong against the standard that a friend has given to us to say, hey, can you know, hold me to this Christian standard. Well, okay, yes, we have a duty there to judge behavior, but never the heart.
Mm.
You know, that's not our job.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely. If we were to do that, if the only form of judgment that we had towards another person was to give an opportunity to shed light on an error that had occurred, only with the intention to also showcase the goodness that is ahead, then we would have a completely different kind of world and relationships, because that would provide opportunity for people to continue to grow and to become better beings.
Yeah.
Instead of simply tearing another person down because we hold an error over them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that brings us to the last one. Generosity is the last point of braving. And this isn't just, you know, birthday gifts and paying for someone's meal, that type of generosity. That's not what this part is about. This is more about assuming the most generous thing about someone's motivations and their intentions. So if someone has done something that, you know, a classic one that I can think of is when someone is running late.
Oh, yeah.
Right. If they're running late and this just so happens to be the second time in a row that they're running late, as a friend, the most generous thing I could do is to assume that something has come up for my friend that has made it difficult or impossible for them to show up on time. Yep. Instead of jumping to conclusions like they don't care about me, they are lazy, they just wanted to go do something else, whatever it might be.
Mm.
Instead of judging what their motivations and their intentions were, actually considering that, no, there might have been something much more legitimate here. But it's jumping to that first.
Sure.
It's always upholding the most generous thing about the other.
Sometimes we being fallen human creatures and having a unique propensity for drama, we do sometimes jump to the worst possible scenario, and it's kind of like, well, you know, this is the second time they've been late, or you know, clearly they don't care. Let's hold up and see what else might be happening there, other than don't care. As you rightly say, they assume the best of their intentions.
I have to say here, though, that making that assumption doesn't mean that we then forget that anything had happened. A conversation still needs to take place about, you know, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening here? I know you missed our lunch or whatever it was. Are you okay? Our conversation still needs to happen, because if it is an error on their part, then that is something that is our responsibility to show, as in terms of accountability. It is on us as a friend to say, hey, okay, so that happened last time, which is, you know, you're allowed to make mistakes. We all do. But it's happened again. Do we need to think about something else here? So a conversation still needs to happen. It's just where we put our thoughts in first towards that person.
Sure, for sure. Also, the generosity of giving in terms of time and service as well.
Mm.
You know, being open to give of ourselves.
Yeah. To really be a gift of gift of self to another.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the most incredible things about friendship.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So I hope that, well, we hope that this has been helpful being able to unpack trust a bit further.
Yeah.
In the sense of braving. Let us know what you guys think of that.
Please.
As always, though, we end off our podcast with a truth, beauty, and goodness moment where, you know, part of living fullness is being able to also see what in our life is actually allowing us to live, live well, and the gifts that we receive. So, Padre, truth, beauty, and goodness, what has been your reflective moment of the week?
There is a student that has gone from strength to strength in his, I should say, a university student, just to clarify, who's gone from strength to strength in his sort of in his relationship with God and also his sense of responsibility. And just watching that growth has been sort of over the last few months has been incredible. Just in the last week, got to witness that sense of responsibility in action. And it was just magnificent. So, yeah, that was a real moment of goodness.
I had a phone call this morning. I'm in a group thread with a group of women literally all over the world. And these are incredible women who have just this incredible zeal and passion and love for Christ. And they're always motivating me with different prayers that they might be doing, different meditations and reflections that they might have. Absolutely incredible. And this morning I woke up to a message that said from a young woman in Germany, "Hey, anyone interested in praying together 11 p.m. Germany time?" Well, really? What time does that make it in Australia? And because we've had daylight savings and things like that, and different parts of the world have them at different times, Google isn't necessarily always accurate at this time of year. So there was a bit of to-ing and fro-ing of, hey, is it over? Have I missed it? No, it's happening in about an hour and a half. Oh, perfect.
Excellent.
Let me in. So that was wonderful. An absolutely wonderful moment. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. If you enjoyed it and found it helpful, please rate our podcast and share it with someone. That just might help someone else find this podcast too. So that we can best serve you, we want to get to know you. Let us know your thoughts, comments, and questions either by joining the Living Fullness Facebook group at Virtue Ministry or our Instagram page, also at Virtue Ministry. We'll catch you again on Wednesday next week for a new episode on Living Fullness. Until then, know of our love and prayers.